Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. You know, as we reminisce on our fellowship and love for moms on Mother's Day last week, it could help to influence us of the importance of the cultivation of love, family, and friendship, all of which mothers are, and God commanded. Commandment number 2, love our neighbor, family, friends, as we love ourselves. Despite God's command, there are times, when some of us, we will replace old friends and family members with new ones. Some of our relationships, they've dissolved themselves because of misunderstandings, misinterpretations, miscommunication, and simply the lack of association. And as we sometimes think of those absent hearts of yesterday, we momentarily think, oh, how I miss those lost loves. Oh, how I wish I could restore that which has been broken. God's word, it tells us this evening, that earth has no problems that heaven cannot heal. And because of this, let us accept as a title of our message this evening, God's Gift of Restoration. Once again, the title of our message this evening is God's Gift of Restoration. Now, our passage is found in 2 Kings, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Again, 2 Kings, 8th chapter, verse 1 through 6. And it reads, then spake Elijah unto the woman whose son had been restored to life, saying, arise, and go thou thine household, and sojourn whatsoever thou can sojourn. For the Lord had called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose, and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household, and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass, at the end of the 7 years, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Hakhazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all of the great things that Elijah has done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored to life, the woman, she cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Hakhazi, he said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elijah restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king, he appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. What an encouraging and uplifting story about a woman who stood to lose her son and her house and property, but she had them both restored. Let's gain some insight this evening on this story of the Shulamite woman, for the restoration in our homes, our relationship, and all of our financial situations. This woman, our financial situation, it could be just like it. It needs to be restored as well. Whatever needs to be restored in our lives, the word of God gives us hope. We read, the earlier incident in the life of Elisha and the Shulamite woman, which is found in 2 Kings 4th chapter 8th through the 17th verse. We'll find, that this woman, she was extremely kind to Elijah. She had a room built onto her home. She furnished that room. And, she fed the man of God every time he came through her area. However, nowhere in the entire law was this commanded or demanded. She just wanted to help the man of God. In response to her kindness, Elijah, he told the woman that God would bless her with a child. You see, she and her husband, you know, they had not previously been able to have children. Therefore, this was wonderful news to her, despite the fact that she previously declined any gifts offered by Elisha. After having a son, the son grows ill several years later and dies. Miraculously, Elijah, he restores her son to life. Now, you're the point we want to emphasize this evening. It seems that God's power, you know, it was available, you know, in this woman's life, because she was, you know, in some measure being rewarded for her kindness to the man of God. Now, you know, this story clearly teaches that we should, you know, practice kindness in all of our interpersonal relationships. Now, you know, there was another woman by the name of Mrs. Thompson. You know, Mrs. Thompson, you know, she stood in front of her fifth grade class on the very first day of school. And, you know, she told her children an untrue. You know, like most of the teachers, you know, she looked at her students and she said, you know, that she loved each of them all the same. But, you know, that was impossible, because right there in the front row, slumped in his seat, was a little boy named Teddy Benjamin. You know, Mrs. Thompson, you know, she had watched Teddy the year before, and she noticed, you know, that he didn't play well with the other children, that his clothes, you know, were messy, and that he constantly needed a bath. And Teddy, you know, he could be very unpleasant. I mean, it got to the point, you know, where Mrs. Thompson, she would actually, you know, delight in marking his papers with a broad red pen, you know, making bold X's, and then putting a big fat F at the top of his paper. You know, at the school where Mrs. Thompson taught, you know, she was required, you know, to review each child's past records. You know, Mrs. Thompson, she put Teddy's file off until last. However, you know, when she reviewed his files, she was in for a surprise. You know, Teddy's first grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He is a joy to be around." You know, his second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student, well liked by his classmates, but he is in trouble because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle." You know, his third grade teacher wrote, "Teddy's mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't seem to show much interest, and his home life will soon be affected if some steps are not taken." Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn, and he doesn't show much interest in school, and he doesn't have many friends, and he sometimes sleeps in class." By now, your old Mrs. Thompson, she realized the problem, and she was ashamed of herself. You know, she felt even worse, y'all, when her students brought her Christmas presents wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bright paper. Except for Teddy's, y'all, his present, it was clumsily wrapped, y'all, in a heavy brown paper that he got from a grocery bag. Mrs. Thompson took pains to open it in the middle of the other presents. Some of the children began to laugh when she found your rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a bottle that was one quarter full of perfume. She stifled the children's laughter when she exclaimed how pretty the bracelet was, putting it on and then dabbing some of the perfume on her wrists. Teddy Benjamin stayed after school that day just long enough to say, "Mrs. Thompson, today you smell just like my mama used to." You know, after the children left, you know, she cried for at least an hour. On that very day, you know, Mrs. Thompson, you know, she quit teaching, writing, reading, and arithmetic. And instead, you know, she began to teach children. Mrs. Thompson, you know, she paid particular attention to Teddy as she worked with him. You know, his mind seemed to come alive. I mean, the more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. By the end of the year, you know, Teddy had become one of her best students in the class. Despite her lie, that she would love all the children the same. Your Teddy became one of her teacher's pets. A year later, Yoshi found a note under her door. It was from Teddy, telling her that she was still the best teacher he had ever had in his life. 6 years went by before she got another letter from Teddy. Yohi then wrote that he had finished high school, third in his class, and she was still the best teacher he had ever had in his whole life. Well, 4 more years, it went by, and then she got another letter, and it was saying that while things had been tough at times, he stayed in school, had stuck with it, and would soon graduate from college with the highest honors. And he assured Mrs. Thompson that she was still the best and favorite teachers he had ever had in his whole life. Now, 4 years had passed from there, and yet another letter came. But this time, it explained that after he got his bachelor's degree, he decided to go a little farther. The letter explained that she was still and his favorite teacher he had ever had. But now, his name, it was a little longer. The letter was signed Theodore F. Benjamin, M.D. But the story doesn't end there. There was another letter that spring. Teddy said that he had met this girl and was going to be married. He exclaimed that his father had died a couple of years earlier, and he was wondering if Mrs. Thompson might agree to sit in the place at the wedding that was usually reserved for the groom's mother. Of course, Mrs. Thompson did. And guess what, y'all? She wore the bracelet, the one with the several rhinestones missing. And she made sure that she was wearing the perfume that Teddy remembered his mother wearing on the last Christmas together. They hugged each other. And Dr. Benjamin, whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, "Thank you so much, Mrs. Thompson, for believing in me. Thank you so much for making me feel important and showing me that I could make a difference." Mrs. Thompson, with tears in her eyes, she whispered back. She said, "Teddy, you have it all wrong. You were the one who taught me that I could make a difference. Teddy, I didn't know how to teach until I met you. Your kindness, pure and simple. Your kindness has always had a great impact on others, and it can make the same impact on us as well. Your most any relationship infused with kindness, it can be restored. One of the greatest things that we can do at home and in our relationship with others to make our relationships better, it is to practice kindness." With my oldest daughter, also a twin, who is now married and have kids of her own, when she was 4 years old, she had learned a Bible verse of scripture. She had learned this in her preschool class, at our church. That night, when her mother and I, were having an assumably disagreement, my voice, it must have been above the normal volume, because my daughter, she walked up to me and she said, "Daddy, be ye kind." Her preschool, they memorized Ephesians 4:32 that very week. "Be ye kind one to another." The Shulamite woman, she had her son restored because the prophet of God had been the recipient of her kindness. All of us can have restoration in our homes, in our relationships as well. And it begins, with something as simple as practicing kindness. Not only did Elisha restore her son to life, but he also, forewarned her about the oncoming famine. It would be 7 years in duration, and she would need to relocate her household somewhere outside the boundaries of the corrective discipline of God. The famine was the ongoing chastisement of God on the wickedness of Ahab and his descendants. Elijah, he loved this woman and her family so much. He wanted all them to be spared the side effects of the famine. But notice all the way that the woman responded to the change. She embraced it. She followed the instructions of the man of God without any apparent complaint. Your being willing to change, it's a key ingredient to the restoring of our relationships. Your change is not always easy to accept. Take the Shulamite move to the land of the Philistines. That couldn't have been simple. Moving you from one house to another is not simple. You're leaving our comfort zone. It can be challenging, but staying you're the same, often it leads to mediocrity. And sometimes we need to make changes in how we do things in order to go farther. You're a good Bible word for change. It is repent. Take Revelations 2:5, for example. Christ's words to the church of Ephesus. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first work. The Greek word for repent, it literally means you'll change your mind. Then, of course, a changed mind will result in a changed life. So many relationships are in trouble today because no one will repent. No one will change their minds. They stay in the same rut constantly. And they wonder why things don't change. Perhaps we feel that we don't have the ability to change. Sometimes we just don't want to put forth the efforts to change. But to paraphrase an old business adage, if we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting. We want to keep bickering and fussing and having an overall unpleasant atmosphere in our homes and relationships, then, we don't repent. But if we're, tired of our life, giving us ulcers, then, somebody's going to have to be willing to change. And let it begin with you. As Michael put it so eloquently, let it start, with that man, that woman in the mirror. Some might be quick to point out, that the change that was made by the Shulamite woman didn't do her any good. When she got back home after the famine, her property had been confiscated by the state. We must never underestimate the power of divine providence. Providence refers to the care of God over his creation and his children. It was clearly no coincidence that the king and Elijah's servant were discussing the woman at the very time she appeared to make an appeal for the return of her property. Of course, God, he had already been at work preparing the king's heart to restore any and only her land. But he also restored the proceeds of the crops that were harvested there. God, he knows the needs of our relationships as well. And if we, like the Shulamite woman, will be the kind of person that we need to be and make all the changes that God leads us to make. He will certainly do his part to restore our love and rapport, which that which is important to us. What are the needs of your associations today that only God can meet? Will you trust him to meet them today? And are you willing to make changes that you are called to make? God is omnipotent and all sovereign. There is nothing that God is not capable of doing. However, there are some things that he expects us to do. God, he expects us to repent, to change our minds. He expects us to practice more kindness towards our loved ones, friends, business associates, and all of those he allows to cross our path. Now, as we conclude, I would like to leave us with a word of encouragement in the form of a poem entitled "The Power of One." And it reads, One song can spark a moment. One flower can wake a dream. One tree can start a forest. One bird can herald spring. One smile begins a friendship. One hand clap lifts a soul. One star can guide a ship at sea. One word can frame the goal. One vote can change a nation. One sunbeam lights a room. One candle wipes out darkness. One laugh will conquer gloom. One step must start each journey. One word must start each prayer. One hope will raise our spirits. One touch can show you care. One voice can speak with wisdom. One heart can know what's true. One life can make a difference. You see, it's all in the power of you. My brothers and sisters, you're for the sake of restoration. Please, let kindness be your recipe. And may God bless you, and may God keep you, is my prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.